seems like a really negative episode, doesn't it?
Rish Outfield here. Hey ho, Rish Outfield here. And this is the Rish Outcast. And if you're joining me for the very first time, wait, how did that happen? Why would you join me on this episode? Go back and listen to You've Got to Want It More or Birth of a Sidekick episode 1. You do that. I don't know why you'd start on this one. But for everybody else, this is Rish from the future, and often I will try and come up with something wildly unfunny that's going on in the future. Oh, you know, yesterday they unveiled President Trump's head on Mount Rushmore. Uncircumcised. So anyhow, what you're about to hear is an episode I believe I call But Now I'm Found.
Oh, yeah.
And it doesn't have an introduction. It doesn't have a, hi, this is Rish Outfield. If you're just joining us for the first time, what the F is wrong with you? It was meant to be tacked on to an episode that ran short. I did this 3 or 4 times last year. You know, I recorded something that was on my mind, and I figured I'll just add that to an episode soon. But in this particular case, I ended up going on long enough that it's going to be its own episode. So here is an introduction to that. And then afterward, I think me from the future will come back and give you just a little bit of an update on that. Because as far as I can remember, I'm not quite done editing the episode, but as far as I can remember, at the end of the episode, things are still unresolved. But yeah, I've got something to say about it. Again, from the perspective of the future. See you in a moment. Here's a little diversion from the topic at hand. I went to the city with my nephews. We went to a convention, a comic convention, and I always like to take the boys. We were coming home and it was raining. It was kind of miserable. The wind was blowing. It was cold. It was night. We'd just gotten off the train. And my older nephew, he just took off like a shot toward the car when we reached the parking lot. But my younger nephew, he is still more timid. He wants to stay by an adult. Sometimes he wants to hold my hand, which can be annoying, but I know I will miss when it stops. Does that make any sense? Right now he's at an affectionate age. And there have been a couple of times that he's come in and woken me up at like 7 o'clock in the morning. And that irritates me. I'm not a morning person. And I know that I yell at him, but if I were more awake, I'd probably appreciate that. You know, but somebody wakes me up early in the morning and I will say things. And then afterward, I'll be like, shoot, what did I say? And I can't quite remember because I'm not fully awake. I've talked about that before, right? Where I will wake up in the middle of the night and I look and there'll be something in my room, something scary. And it's happened to me so many times that I don't really respond like I used to as a kid. I just, you know, I go, oh yeah, you're not there. And so, yeah, I tend to do is I just turn on the light now. Just this week, I woke up and it was about 4 in the morning and there was a clown kneeling, or it was a dwarf clown just on the side of the room standing there. And I was just like, oh, Jesus. And then I turned on the light and the clown became several boxes and a ton of books stacked up in front of the boxes. And I was a little bit embarrassed, but you know, I shouldn't be that embarrassed at this point. It's just something that happens. Anyway, shoot, what a diversion from the diversion. So my younger nephew, he's the 6-year-old, he stayed back with me. But I saw my older nephew run across the grass to the parking lot and he kicked something. And I thought that it was a hat, or I don't know what I thought it was, because it was multicolored and everything is gray at night in the rain. I guess I just thought it was like a winter hat. One of those, you know, that's knitted, that you pull down over your head to go skiing and stuff. So when we reached it, I told my nephew, hey, grab that. See what that is. And he did, and he picked it up, and it was like somebody's knitted handbag. You know, like a wallet kind of thing. I'm sorry, I don't know what the word is to describe what it was. But we got to the car, and I think my nephew opened it, and it had money in it and a driver's license and a debit card. And my older nephew was just like, woohoo, free money. But I was like, hey, you know, somebody's lost that. Handed up to me, and I looked, and it was a girl's driver's license, and the debit card was the same name. The girl was young, and she wasn't local. It was an Oregon driver's license. But the debit card was to a local bank. So that told me something. Anyhow, my first move was to look for this girl on Facebook because she's young, and I was like, okay, there's a 90% chance she's going to be on Facebook. And so I typed her name, and a bunch of people had that same name. So I typed the full name that was on the driver's license just in case, you know, there are some people that use their full names. No such luck. And I was like, huh, okay, well, you know, I'm going to figure this out. It'll be cool. I looked through the names that came up on Facebook. And, you know, I'm not sure if there's a way to sort them. I've never figured out a way because, you know, if you could sort by Oregon, then surely that would come up. Anyway, I just looked through like the 15 or so girls with her name. And see, the driver's license had a picture of her. And so I thought, okay, I'll be able to identify her if I see a picture. But I didn't see any. You know, there are lots of Facebook accounts that don't have pictures. And I don't know if that's people that haven't figured out how to upload the pictures, that's people that want privacy, if those are phony accounts. I don't know. But anyhow, when I got home, I looked at the... here, let me give you one more diversion from the diversion. When I was in school, I wrote a story about an old man who is given a wallet. And the wallet has like a driver's license and credit cards and some cash in it. So this old man tries to track down the owner of the wallet. And the first thing that he did was to dial the number on the driver's license, only to find that it had been disconnected. Anyway, this was in a creative writing class that I wrote this story. And somebody said, driver's licenses don't have telephone numbers on them. And they said it just like that. It's great because it's been all these years and I still hear it exactly that way. It was like, you idiot, Uriel, Japanese people don't have souls. I was just like, what, really? So I got my driver's license out and I looked, and yeah, there was no telephone number on the front or the back. So I changed that sentence in the story. But I never forgot that. Yeah, it's funny when people do that. And you've heard me complain before. Somebody can say, hey, you know, that story really moved me. Or hey, your speech reminded me of my dad. Or hey, you have a good smile. And a day later, you've forgotten that. But somebody just says, you know, your breath smells like you've been licking skunks' buttholes. And you remember that word for the rest of your life.
Ch-ch-ch-chia.
What?
Nothing.
So I was reminded of that. You know, if there had been a telephone number on the damn driver's license, it would have been taken care of right there in the car on the drive home. But that was not the case. So the second thing I did was to get on Facebook and say, hey guys, I found a wallet. What would you do to get this back to the owner? And one person said, give it to the police, they'll make sure she gets it. And another person said, well, you're on Facebook, you know, go ahead and use Facebook to find her, which I had failed by that point. And then another person said, mail it to the address on the driver's license, duh.
And I didn't appreciate that. It wasn't quite as bad as driver's licenses drive telephone numbers.
Well, because I'm not in Oregon. And I don't think that the girl is in Oregon anymore. What if I mailed this there and it doesn't get to her, it gets to whoever happens to live there now, or it comes back to me? I guess because there was cash in there, I didn't want it just to go to a question mark. And then, yeah, with the police thing, do they even care about something like that? Like when my apartment got broken into, these guys came in and they took fingerprints and they took a statement from me. And I said, well, will you contact me if you find any of my stolen stuff? And the guy's like, yeah, we're not going to find any of your stuff. He didn't say, you know, oh, well, we'll do the best we can. Or, you know, a lot of times these items are never recovered. You know, they get pawned or they get thrown away, or they're just here for stuff that they can sell, or stuff they can trade for drugs, stuff they can put in the poor box at church. So, yeah, don't get your hopes up. This guy just said, yeah, you're not going to get your stuff back. You've lost stuff before. Right. Okay, maybe if you're Mary Lou Henner, you've never lost anything and just set something down and then forgot what you did with it. But it sucks. It's scary and it's no fun. If it's something important, that's bad. And so, you know, naturally I'm empathetic. And I have always been that way. I promise you this is my last side trip. I was at a movie with a girl, and it was a romantic comedy, so if you want to say that it was a date, that's fine. We'd gone out a couple of times beforehand, and we were watching this movie, and it ended, and because I like to stay for the credits, she broke up with me. No, although that's fine. I'm always going to stay for the credits. But the house lights came up, and I got up, and on the row behind mine, there were some car keys just sitting. And at this point, the theater was pretty much empty. But I scooped up the car keys, and I thought, oh, you know, hey, we can find the people these belong to. And she said, just leave them there. And I said, well, yeah, but, you know, if we give them to an employee or whatever, then if somebody comes back, you know, they won't have to go looking, especially if another screening has started. They can just, you know, the manager or something will have them. And she's like, okay. And I didn't really pick up on her exasperation with me at this point. But in retrospect, it was already there. I saw a kid, an usher, I guess, and he was changing the garbages. And I said, hey, do you have a manager I can talk to? Do you have somebody, you know, that's in charge? And he's just like, I don't know. And he said, I don't know. I said, well, where is the manager? Is there somebody in charge I can talk to? And he pointed over to concessions. I'm like, all right. And I looked around. I was trying to find somebody old enough to shave. There was an older guy, you know, a guy with gray hair. And I was like, okay, even if he's not the manager, he's going to have some kind of seniority. He's going to be the person to talk to, and he will talk to the manager or whatever it is. But he was helping somebody, and I was just like waiting for him to be done. And let's say that this girl's name was Katrina. Katrina said, come on, let's go. And I said, well, but these people are going to get to their car, realize they don't have their keys, and they're going to freak out. And it really surprised me what she said. She said, fuck them. And I was offended by that, I guess, is the phrase. I mean, nobody likes to be called on their bullshit. But I said, hey, if I lost my keys, this is what I would want somebody to do for me. Anyway, she was upset, and I waited for the guy, and it turns out the guy was the assistant manager or something like that, and the manager had gone home, but I gave him the keys, I explained what theater we had been in, and he's just like, oh,
Okay, thanks. He seemed a little bit surprised. Maybe people never do this. But then it was time for us to go, and what did I say her name was? Katrina? Was upset with me. And I could just feel this tension. You know, we went to the car, and I drove her home, and I had pissed her off. The way I know that is because my buddy Matthew, a couple days later, said, "What did you do to Katrina? She's really mad at you." And when I heard that, yeah, I have to admit I didn't handle it well. I became angry at her. I mean, I told him the story, and I said, "What would you have done?" And he said, "I don't know that I would have given it to a manager, but I definitely would have given the keys to somebody." And I was like, "Okay, exactly." I mean, it wasn't unreasonable. Anyhow, I've always been that guy. I found a lady's purse in LA, and it had a cell phone in it. And so easily I was able to call, I guess there was an emergency contact or whatever, and I think I got her sister. And her sister is just like, "Oh, she's been freaking out. Yes, can I take your address?" And yeah, within an hour, that girl had driven over and gotten her keys and her phone and her cash and her purse and all that stuff. She was so grateful and so relieved. I was just like, "Wow, cool. Here you go, you know? And you have a good night." And I don't know, maybe it's selfish, but I was able to feel like I'd done a good thing. I could easily have just kept the money and tossed the bag, maybe pawned the phone for money I could put in the church's donation plate. I didn't, though. So let's go back to what we were talking about in the first place, which is I didn't know how to contact this girl, but I had a debit card with her name on it. And on the back of the debit card, it says, "If this card is lost or stolen, please call this number." And so I called the number, and there was somebody online. I guess there's always there 24 hours, somebody to report the incident. Anyway, I told the lady the situation, and she said, "Oh, well, yeah, that's great. I have contact information for the girl. Can I take your number and I'll have her call you?" And I said, "Absolutely, sure." Yeah, I gave it to her. And then the woman said, "I appreciate you doing this." Oh, the other thing she told me was, "Do you still have the debit card?" And I'm like, "Yeah, it's just right here." And she says, "I need you to destroy that card." And I said, "Destroy it?" That's what she said. I assumed I would get a call that night because it's important. And I thought, well, you know, we were still going to the city the next day for Comic-Con. So I'll be in the same city as her and we can meet up and she'll be grateful. And the kids, here's the thing, the kids will see that this was the right thing to do by the reaction of the girl. Do you know what I mean? I guess I'm coming from a point of being a parent or something at this point, because I just wanted the boys to see that, okay, it would be cool to keep all of this money, but to do the right thing is cool too. But I never heard from her. I didn't get a call from the girl. And now it's been a week. And I just, the other thing that I was thinking about doing is sending a letter to the address on the driver's license saying, "Hey, I found this bag. If you are, you know, the girl or can contact the girl, this is my telephone number," and just have her contact me. And if I never get a call then, okay, I can say, you know what, I did all that I could, minus, yes, mailing the bag to this address, not knowing whether she would ever get it or not. Part of me thinks, well, dude, you can do more. You have done the bare minimum and you can do more. Why haven't you sent a letter yet? And the reason is, well, out of sight, out of mind. You know, I have that pocketbook or whatever you want to call it in my backpack, and she never contacted me, and so I just, yeah, I don't think about it. I don't carry my backpack with me very much, and so I didn't think about it. Hey, do you remember my story, Lost and Found? I felt like it was a pretty good story, but After I published it, there were criticisms of it. And of course, that's all I can think of. But I liked the idea of this boy who could find lost things. I thought of writing more stories about the boy. I thought maybe the word gets out that he rescued this girl. And people come to him, or maybe they come to his mother, to try to get him to use his ability. And I felt like the mom was pretty sympathetic in the story. I mean, not at first. She seems like a real bitch at the beginning, because at this point, I don't think we know the backstory, but she refuses to let the uncle propose this thing to the boy. But then later we discover that she blames herself for the death of her husband. And it wasn't really her fault, but he's dead. And if she had said or done something differently, he wouldn't be dead. And so that has haunted her, and she's just terrified of that happening to the boy. She's overprotective, and understandably so. So in another story, I mean, maybe she realizes, hey, look, the boy could go to a nice school if we did this a couple of times a year. I mean, if you're a policeman and you were involved in this thing that happened, this miraculous rescue, and it could only be miraculous, word would get out, right? And so other cases might come this guy's way. It's hard to say, because like we've all read stories or books or seen movies about a psychic that's brought in to help the police. I mean, holy cow, it used to be a cottage industry. A psychic helps the police track down a serial killer, that kind of stuff. I just recently, there was a movie called Solace that had Anthony Hopkins in it as a psychic who used to help the police, and he's retired now, but the FBI comes to him and asks him, to consult on one last case. It's always one last, but I thought it was a very solid movie. Why it didn't get theatrical distribution, I didn't understand, but I liked it a lot. And maybe I wouldn't be thinking about this if I hadn't seen it, but I like the idea that the boy felt useful and he helped this girl, and now he sees the girl on the news from time to time because her grandfather was a multimillionaire, right? And maybe even sees the girl socially. Not like, she dates him or anything, but she calls him from time to time. In fact, maybe she tells him, you're the only one that was in there and saw this guy. Hell, I mean, we could say that the guy's arm was cauterized by the transfer. And so he didn't die. He's just armless. He's out there. He escaped. And he's out there somewhere. But of course, it would be hard to hide a missing arm. But I just thought it would be neat if she told him, you're the only person that really knows what it was like in there. And I have these dreams. And he's like, well, call me. Your grandpa got me an iPhone. And it was nice. I forgot. In the story, the uncle tells, what was the guy's name? I want to say that it was Vikros Kassad. Does that sound right? He tells him, if my nephew does this, I want him to be able to go to college. So the idea of the mom saying, well, if we did this a couple of times, he'd be able to go to a nice school, and that's not going to work. But it could be because the boy is young. He was like 8, right? Or 10? They're not going to be able to touch that college money for years and years. And, they have to make ends meet. There's a mortgage that's due, or hell, they live in an apartment now, right? Anyway, go back. So Vikros gives the boy an iPhone, and the girl calls him sometimes in the night when she has a bad dream. Anyway, I guess we could say that they stay friends. And Why not? Why not say that our boy falls helplessly in love with her, with the girl? Because she's beautiful and she's older than him. She's got money. She's got fame. I mean, it's a kind of fame. It's sad. But yeah, what if she goes off to her private school and one of the girls at the school loses a necklace or an earring that was her grandmother's or that she wasn't supposed to have in the first place? And the girl says, you know, I know somebody who can find it. And the boy is all over that because it gives him the chance to be a hero for this girl that he's crazy about again. And also, you know, it's nice. It feels good to help people out. So maybe he gets, you know, $100 or $200 as a reward from this girl for finding her earring. And yeah, it's in a stupid place. Some place where she swears she looked and there it is. But word starts to get around. And I could see this guy, the kid, becoming some kind of investigator. I mean, how opening like some little shop. Finder of lost children. Oh, no, don't call it that. But now I'm found. And he meets with clients, and he is not cheap. But if he can help people out, he helps them out. Hell, I could even see the girl that it was kidnapped being a partner with him on this thing. Because she could either wallow in the horrors that she underwent, or she could turn that into a chance to help other girls. Counselor, public speaker, somebody that goes and they tell about their story so that you feel like you're not alone if you're in the audience and you experienced something similar. I like that. I like that idea of that it changed her fundamentally, who she was, this awful thing that happened to her. But she's a good person, maybe a better person than she would have been had this terrible thing not happened to her. And yeah, they go into business together. Eventually there's a knock on the door and it's a government agent. And let's say that it's a woman government agent, because you never see those. It's a woman in black, and she shows up and she's like, "Are you legitimate?" And he's like, "I'm good at what I do. You don't have to believe me. Were you referred?" Or he's like, "Yeah, well, I'm from the Federal Bureau of Investigation." Hell, he might be from the CIA. And they want him to find a bomb. They want him to find a weapon of mass destruction that has been stolen. And he's just like, "What?" He's like, "Well, hey, your ad said, your website said you could find lost dogs and lost people and lost unusual items. This is about as unusual as it gets." I'm already filling in the details of him finally porting over to where this bomb is. And it's already rigged to detonate. And he realizes, I mean, A, it's too big for him to move. You know, he can't just port away with it because it weighs more than he does. Although he's not a little boy anymore, is he? And then also, yeah, by the time the bomb squad arrives or whatever, it'll be too late. Although I guess he could port away and port back with a bomb squad technician, but that would just be too exhausting, I guess. I don't know, because I had that it really took a lot out of him to do this thing. So he ends up having to defuse the bomb. I don't know. This is a dumb story, isn't it? Where the hell did this come from? This is like a grown-up story with him. Because they're not going to, even if he was like 14 at this point, the government agent's not going to send a 14-year-old to find a missing weapon of mass destruction. But a little voice inside my head says, "Aha, if they were desperate enough, they would send anyone. If they were desperate enough, they'd send Michelle Obama to get this bomb out of the way before it explodes." His company is called But Now I'm Found. So I like writing this stuff, right? It's not like I've written anything, but you do get a bit of a thrill
out of coming up with something and having synapses fire and you make connections, you know, you just like are creating a story. Another story could be had, though, in finding the wallet, finding the purse, finding a phone, finding a purse. And inside the purse is, you know, there could be like a diamond ring in a box. And you think, well, why is it in a box? If somebody asked this girl to marry them, why wouldn't she have it on her finger? Or, I don't know, it doesn't have to be a diamond ring. It could be something even stranger. It's a vial of human blood. But it seems like a story could be told about trying to find the owner of this thing. I mean, yeah, okay. Guys, men, are very visually oriented, visually stimulated. So you could easily see a picture of a girl on a driver's license or something like that and becomes fixated on her. And he's like, I need to get this back to her. I need to get this stuff back to her. And he becomes emotionally connected to her, even though he doesn't know her. And, you know, he imagines that she'll throw her arms around him when he finally tracks her down. And I'm sure that relationships have started with less. If somebody found your purse, let's say, and went to great lengths to return it to you, I could see you saying, wow, this is a solid dude. You know, I could do a hell of a lot worse. I have done a hell of a lot worse than this guy. I don't know. I think that sort of thing is doable. I mean, hell, we could combine the two fudgeons' ideas. Some guy finds a purse in the street, and it's got this picture of this girl or whatever, and he becomes infatuated with her. He tries to track her down, and there's no sign of her. Something happened to this girl. So he goes to, but now I'm found.
But now I'm found investigations. How can I help you?
Turns out she faked her own death. See, that would be a fun twist. Is, you know, they finally track her down. They figure out where she is. She's in some cabin somewhere up in Nova Scotia. Yeah, she's not been kidnapped. She's not disappeared. She does not take kindly to this interruption. And she's like, yeah, I lost that handbag on purpose so that it would look like there was foul play. Didn't the police find my jacket with all the blood on it? And the guy's just like, oh, geez, there was a jacket. All right, I've lost me. Instead of saying, okay, I can see by your eyes I've lost you, I can see by my eyes I've lost me. I don't know, just in the back of my mind there was the idea of a person. You know, it doesn't have to be a guy, it could be a girl. If a girl found somebody's purse, it'd be so easy for her to be empathetic, thinking about times that she had misplaced her purse. My mom went grocery shopping one time, and some guy just lifted her purse right out of her cart while she was at, like, the fruit aisle or whatever, and he just walked right out the front doors of the grocery store. It was that brazen. So she went to the, you know, security and reported it, and they said, did you get a look at this guy? And she's like, yeah, he looked just like Big Anklevich, co-host of the Doonstief, you bucket of human garbage. And the security guy was just like, are you calling me the bucket of, yes, you. Okay, sorry. I've lost everyone at this point. The thing is, see, I should have given you a little bit of backstory. I'm driving. And I have a long drive ahead. I mean, I've been recording this whole trip. And I'm not going anywhere. I'm so far south that all the radio stations have faded out. And so I just thought, I'll talk and see where it goes. Because, you know, sometimes I will do this. Not for you guys, not on a podcast. But I'll just start my phone
the voice recorder function. I'll start that going and I'll try and brainstorm a story. You know, it's like, okay, this is where I'm at my novella and what needs to happen next, that kind of thing. Or, you know, I'll just put pieces together. And I find that it works really well for me, but only if I do it aloud. In this case, granted, it hasn't netted us anything particularly valuable. Geez, let me just sum up and I'll let you go your way. I lost my wallet on a roller coaster when I was a teenager. And the employee, or I don't know, whoever they summoned, said, well, if you want, we can ride the coaster, just you and me, and we'll look, see if we can spot your wallet. And I didn't take him up on it because I was distressed about losing my wallet. And he said, or we could walk around down below and see if we can find the wallet that way. And that's ultimately what we did. We took a walk down below the track and they let the coaster continue to go. It's not like we held up the people that wanted to have a good time. And yeah, my wallet had flown out, at one of the dips or something like that. And it was there, it was on the ground, and I was able to recover it. And that was an immense relief for a kid. I never had any money in those days. No, I was gonna say I was up there for a concert and I had the concert tickets. That's not the case, but I did have concert tickets in my wallet for a show that we were gonna see like the next week or the next month. And once I found my wallet, I saw that the tickets were in there and I was just like, holy crap, I had those tickets and I had forgotten that I had them. Like I was saying before, we've all lost stuff and it's a terrible feeling. So I just feel bad for this girl because, you know, it was a lot of money. And when I was her age, I didn't have any money. And you know, at this point, with over a week having gone past, there's no way that she hasn't, you know, freaked out and cried about it and just realized that that money is gone. But it still would have a happy ending for her if I could track her down and give that back to her. I don't know what I'm doing, guys. I try to be entertaining as a podcaster. I try to entertain as a writer. Although the person I'm trying to entertain as a writer is me. I appreciate those of you who listen to my show, who tune in week after week and who feel like they know me. Because you do know me. I mean, you heard me talking about the death of my dad and you heard me talking about getting diarrhea at the junior prom. No. I wouldn't be surprised if I haven't podcasted about getting caught in my zipper as a little boy. It's pretty intimate. It's pretty revealing. It's intentionally so. It's me trying to be real. You know, maybe I missed my calling. Maybe I would have been great as a radio person talking about how it's all Obama's fault. Even all these years later, it's still Obama's fault. But I'm not going to have that career. I have been doing this podcast, The Rich Outcast, for a couple of years now. And in 2016, 2017, I did it very regularly. And so I feel like the show is about as good as it's going to be. With the Doonstief, sometimes I would feel like, well, I ought to do something creative or something amusing, something clever, as to be special, to set us apart from everybody else. And I feel like I accomplished that. It was a tremendous amount of work to do a song or to do a sketch for no reward, but I don't know that that was wasted time. The wasted time was the sketches or the songs that I wrote or that I started to write and then we never did for one reason or another. I don't know. I'm getting into these existential questions. If nobody is out there listening to me talk, who am I talking for? And is it okay for me just to talk for myself. And I think I've established that I think it is. After all, I tend to talk to myself all the time anyway. I used to write a journal that nobody ever saw. I guess that's it for this little episode or vignette or addition to an episode. At this point, I've been talking so long, it might as well be its own episode. So anyhow, thank you for listening. If you have interest in supporting me financially, there is the Patreon. A couple people have complained that they don't want to have to donate for every episode that I put out. That's how I would prefer you to support me, because there are people that I support that they get a donation every month, whether they produce any content or not. But I, knowing that there are people that donate money for every episode I put out, encourages me to put out more episodes. But if that's not your bag, baby, you can donate just once a month. It doesn't have to be a lot of money. It can be, but it doesn't have to be. And ensure that I keep doing this. Right now, I feel like I'm on a roll. This episode notwithstanding, I feel like I'm on a roll. I've produced a lot of episodes. There's constantly things that I'd like to talk about. There are stories that I dig up from old notebooks and stuff that I'm just like, you know, this is going to be a Rish Outcast episode. And I don't think I would put those stories out if it weren't for my podcast. So you can support me in that way. If you can't support me with money, comments, I really appreciate comments. You can buy a story of mine or a novella of mine on Amazon or on Smashwords. I keep meaning to put more free stories out there, like on Smashwords and stuff, but this podcast has totally supplanted that. Before I started my Patreon, I would set goals for myself. Okay, this month I'm going to publish a story for free and a story for pay. And next month I'm going to publish a story for free and a story for pay. But that's pretty much stopped. All of my publishing at this point has stopped. These things are cyclical. No big deal. I will publish again. Well, I feel like I started wrapping up about 10 minutes ago, and I still haven't said goodbye. Okay, this is definitely goodbye. Thanks again. You have a good day. I will be back inevitably unless something terrible happens to me in this drive, in which case you won't hear this anyhow, so why am I drawing attention to it? Hang on to your wallets and car keys, kids. I'm not always going to be there. Good night.
The Rish Outcast is still produced under a Creative Commons Attribution No Derivatives license. It's free to listen to, copy, share, and delete, especially that last one. But you cannot sell it or make claims on it yourself.
There's also a Patreon fund attached to it if you've lost hold of your senses and want to encourage more of the show. You're still here? Well, get out there and get on with your day.
All right, Rish Outfield from the future again. No jokes, just here I am. Episode is completely edited. All I need is to put this little bit in there. And this little bit is to tell you what ended up happening with that purse, bag, satchel that I found. After I recorded the episode that you just listened to, I hope you listened to it. Come on. I wrote a letter and addressed it to the address on the driver's license.
And it says, I have your son.
No. And it said, I found this thing. Or my nephew found this thing. If you are the owner of this thing, please contact me. And I gave a telephone number. I sent it off. And a few days later, there was a voicemail. And it was this girl. And she called and she said, yeah, that belongs to me. I lost it. If you could just send it to this address, thanks. And she gave the a new address, a local address, and what it seemed to be is that she was now working for one of the like national parks as a guide or person that gets angry when she sees piles of rocks that hikers have made to show people where the trail is. But it struck me as kind of terse. I guess I wanted a ton of thanks and praise and relief, which she could have done on the voicemail because, you know, it doesn't cost anything. But it was just, you know, yeah, that's me. I lost it. Here's my address you can send it to. Thanks. And so she did say thanks. That's nice. And I think I just put it in a padded envelope and mailed it off. And that was it. It was gone. And the boys did ask whatever happened with that. And I can't imagine they weren't disappointed that they didn't get to have that money. But like I said in the episode, I wanted them to see a happy ending just so they would remember for when that sort of thing happened to them. As I said, it has happened to me more than once. My guess is that it happens to everybody. Everybody finds a wallet or a purse or a cell phone or a dildo. Yes, that happened once too, okay? And I don't know if people just leave them there, people take them, people toss them in the trash. I don't know. But it will happen to them, and I just hoped that they had a good experience from that so that they do the noble thing. I almost said the right thing. It's not a lot of nobility in the world. Who needs it, right? Anyhow, another episode of the Rish Outcast all done. And I hope that you liked this one. In editing it, I discovered that I quite liked it. At least the story that I had come up with for the sequel to Lost and Found. I had forgotten most of that I had talked about. That's not something that I ever wrote, but it was a reminder. It's like, oh yeah, there are some good ideas in there. Huh. So, once again, thank you for listening. From Rish Outfield from 2018 and Rish Outfield from 2017. Good night. And he just walked right out the front doors of the grocery store. And, you know, she went to security and they said, what did this man look like? And she said, like Rish Outfield, that bucket of human garbage. No. You've lost stuff before, right? I don't know, maybe if you have, God, what was the name of the actress who had Total Recall? She's on Taxi. The joke is only funny if I don't have to explain who it is. I want to say Mariette Hartley, but it's not. What was the name of the lead actress on the TV series Taxi? Marilu Henner, thank God.